Having a good time so far? Learning lots? Good deal. Okay, if you will, turn in your notes to the hermeneutic section. Don't worry, we're not going to get through all of those today. So that's pretty thick. Some of this I'm going to hit highlights of. I'm going to highlight some of the major things. I mean, there's no way I can do a whole hermeneutics course in 1 hour. So I'm going to give you kind of just, here's the purpose. The purpose of this course is to help you to be a better steward of God's Word. If at the end of this I can kind of compel you, motivate you, get you passionate about being a little more careful with God's Word and a few more tools to help you study God's Word and get the meaning accurate, then I've done my job. And if maybe I compel you to read a few hermeneutics books, we don't have any books up here, it looks like they didn't replace them, books on how to study the Bible. Why would that be important for this group? Because you're biblical counselors and you need your understanding of God's Word sharpened and focused and accurate. So here's the question for you, true or false. God's Word will change me whether I understand it or not. False? God's Word is powerful, can change you. Do you have to understand it? In your daily devos, you're doing your daily devos 7 days a week like you do because you got to do your checklist thing. And in your daily devos, you come across Leviticus and you read a passage in there about, a grain offering and how the priests have to do that. And you say, oh, great, I've done my devos today. And you really don't understand the passage. But you've done your devos, and you're happy about that. You can check that off. Is that what you do? Has God's Word changed you? Yes? Even though you have not understood it? So then you're not doing devos, you're doing Bible study. I said devos. And yes, that is my point. You need to study the Bible. We're not just there for the mystical devo approach, hoping that if we open God's Word and read it, somehow magically, we'll magically understand it and we'll be changed. The devotional approach to God's Word is not what we're looking at in that sense. I'm all for devos as long as the devos help you understand God's Word. And I'm not just for informational approaches to God's Word. What is informational approach? Well, I learn all about the grain offerings, and I learn all about the blood offerings, and great, I know all of this, and I can even debate my friends on them. But I do not understand the significance and the meaning behind all of this, and I don't go away changed. So we're not interested in the informational approach to God's Word. We're not interested in the devotional approach to God's Word without understanding. We're interested ultimately in the a meditational approach where I let God's Word richly dwell within my heart, and that has to accompany your mind and your understanding. I mean, you have to understand God's Word. If it didn't matter about understanding what God has said, why would Paul have been so concerned about the tongues phenomenon in 1 Corinthians 14? Do you understand that? What was his emphasis on tongues in 1 Corinthians 14? What was the purpose of him correcting the Corinthian usage of tongues? What was his entire concern? That you understand what is spoken, so therefore you have an interpreter at that point in time. Whatever your views are on tongue, the point was that you understand this. Now, take a look in your notes at the quote there from Nehemiah. You can look in your notes or look up here. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 occurs, the children of Israel had been released from Babylonian captivity. Okay? After, how long had they been in Babylonian captivity? 70 years. They were in a culture that was different to them, and they had apparently lost some of the understanding of the Hebrew language, the Hebrew culture, and the Hebrew idioms and all of this, because here's what Nehemiah had to do. Do you understand? Look at Nehemiah 8, as he's built the wall and all of that, and then all of this, all of the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could listen with understanding. Please note that, with understanding. On the first day of the seventh month, and he read it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Also the Levites, explain Leviticus to the people, and the law to the people, while the people remained in their place. They read from the book of the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, and said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the Lord. How was it that ultimately they were responsive? At the end, they were weeping. How was it that they were responsive? Clearly. So how is it that you're going to be changed and transformed? It's that you're going to have to understand the Word of God, and you're going to help your people understand the Word of God. So that is what this lecture is, just a little bit of incentive to help you be motivated to be a good steward of the Word of God. You know the importance of the Word of God as far as our tool, the inspired Word of God. And look at James 3:1 there under Roman numeral 1b. "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur stricter judgment." I mean, that verse is, all of you are teachers in some sense here, if you're biblical counselors and you're instructing somebody, and you understand you have an additional responsibility to handle well the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15. "Be diligent to present yourself," and this was to a young pastor, "but a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth." Now, see how fast I'm going through these slides? Okay, so I'm already on page 2. Gotcha. And look, letter C. I already had covered letter C, right? Insufficient approaches to the Word of God, informational approach, devotional approach, mystical approach. I already did all that to you, okay? Basically, see how quick I can do this? Now, the necessary approach to the Word of God, the meditational approach to the Word of God. Here's what I need to be focusing on. What has God communicated to me, and how should I respond now? Godliness is an implementation of true righteousness with the right motives from a transformed heart, and that results in wisdom and maturity, and that only occurs through understanding God's Word. So we have to study the Scriptures for the purpose of seeking what God has said in His revelation, so that you might respond properly in your heart and in your behavior, so you may mature. Now, when I began to talk about this whole thing of Bible interpretation, I'm going to use this big word, hermeneutics, and you say, "Herman who?" That kind of thing. And that's simply a word for the process by which we begin to understand and interpret the Word of God. Like, there's rules for interpretation. There are principles for interpretation of the Word of God. There's principles in all to help us along the way and understanding what God has said. But I have this great question for you. Here's the question. Like, where did these rules come from? I mean, I don't find them in the Word of God. Do you? I mean, where do you, topical search on hermeneutics, where do you find it in the Word of God? Like, who made these up? What? Right beside soteriology. In the book of hermeneutics, turn there if you will, please. There's not one. Help me understand then, who makes up these rules? Man. So we're following man's rules to interpret God's Word. That's what you said. Right? I'm just standing here and you said it. Where do these rules come from? You guys don't know, do you? Calvary. Let's just give some Sunday school answers here. Say Jesus, God, the